How many of y'all are glad that you know, Easter service, we come in and, you know, everybody's dressed up and there's hundreds of people here to see the resurrection. And a lot of church people get, you know, they get a little cynical about Easter. They go, well, here they come. The ECs, Easter and Christmas people. Well, you know what, though? We want to be connecting with people no matter when it is, no matter what it is. And so there's an attitude today that I want to give you out of the text, and you have this attitude here, and you especially have it in this 8 o'clock service. And it's an attitude that if we're going to be faithful and we're going to be mature and we're really going to live out the faith that we really got to grasp, those who follow Jesus Christ are on the give. Those who really follow Jesus Christ are on the give. Those who don't follow Jesus Christ are always on the take. They're always on the take. There's two types of people in the world that you constantly meet every day. There are takers and there's givers. True or false? And we live in a nation of givers and takers. And here's the thing. If we really look at our lives deep down inside, we've been both. There are times that we've been takers, and then there's times we've been what? Givers. But when Christ comes into our lives, he should put on in us the mentality of being a giver. And so I'm going to talk today, if you'll go with me to Acts chapter 3, every one of us in this room always have something to give. We always have something to give. It never stops. And that is releasing, giving the identity of Jesus Christ to the world on a daily basis. So I want to pray that we get rid of this mentality. How many of y'all have ever said this? I just don't have anything to contribute. I just don't have a lot to give. You know, I can't sing like an angel. You know, I can't, I'm not creative. I don't have all this. I don't have a lot of money. I just don't have a lot to give. How many of y'all have ever said that word, that phrase come off your mouth? I don't have a lot to give. Well, guess what? That's a lie. Because inside of you, isn't Jesus Christ, those of you who've received Jesus Christ, been forgiven of your sins, you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, how many of you are packing Jesus Christ in your life? Come on, talk to me. I know it's raining. Listen, it's going to do that to June, so just get used to it, okay? Watch this. We don't have time to quit being fervent about Jesus based on weather conditions, okay? There are lost people that need to be saved today even though it's raining, okay? You say, well, what if we have a big storm in Alabama, like Alabama did? You know what? You better believe in Jesus. 350 people aren't here this week that were here last week because of a terrible storm. People die every week. That's a fact. That's a reality. That's not morbid. That's a fact. Guess what will happen next week, Chase? Some more people will die. And the week after that, guess what's going to happen? Some more people are going to die. That's the reality of life. Until you wake up to that reality, you'll always be living scared. But guess what? You and I got a truth. We live in Christ. Wasn't that last week? Didn't we pile into the churches across America? And I'm talking Beaver Big services. He's risen. He's alive. He's here. He didn't stay dead. So those who follow him are on the give. You got it? And I'm going to tell you, if you're always on the take, that should indicate to you one or two things. You are saved with a very shallow maturity, or you have no understanding of your salvation, or you're not in yet. One of the things that salvation does is change our mentality from a taker to a giver. Isn't that interesting? Jesus gave out everything he had. True or false? Yeah, true. I mean, by the time Jesus went to the cross and he says those beautiful words in John chapter 19, it is finished. What happened to Jesus? He gave it all out. Now, is that not contrary? It's contra to our mentality, isn't it? What do they tell us? We need to what? Well, I mean, it's a rainy day. What have you ever heard about a rainy day? I'm saving for a what? Rainy day. Was this Jesus' mentality? No. He gave out everything he had to the very end. I'm going to encourage you today to live that way. This is also the way the Apostle Paul lived. If you get to that 2 Timothy, that letter that he writes to his ministry student, he tells Timothy, he said, Timothy, I've been poured out like a what? Drink offering. I am done. I've given all that I've been given to give, and I am leaving with the reality that I've run my leg, run my race. I've run it in faith. I've kept the faith. I am what? Finished. How many of y'all going to live in such a way you'll be finished when you get toward the end? See, that's the way you ought to live. You ought to live so that you get finished. Well, I'm going to tell you today, one of the ways you get to that is be on the give. Be on the give. Be on the give. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to take the Holy Spirit in this culture, because this culture tells you constantly to be on the take. What's in it for? Complete this sentence. What's in it for? Now, what if we changed our mentality from what's in it for me to this phrase? Where's Jesus in it? Find Jesus in it, whatever your it is in that moment, okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, help us have a clear mind today. Lord, as we hear all kinds of different things, we're very thankful in our congregation today. Lord, I'm thankful for the rain. But I also lift up my brothers and sisters in Mississippi, Georgia, and Alabama, as many of those churches that have been faithful over centuries. This morning, some of them don't have a church building because a great wind changed everything in their world. Lord, we pray for the University of Alabama and the students that are missing, that you would send help and confirmation. We pray for those parents that are awake this morning wondering if they still have a son or a daughter. So, Lord, remind us that this world changes in a heartbeat. Don't let that draw us into paranoia or alarm us, but Lord, do allow it to increase our faith, that we walk in you, not by sight. Lord, that what we really feel is secure, remind us that it's temporary. Remind us that we're temporary. Remind us, Lord, to be on the give today and not on the take. In the name of Jesus, amen. How many of y'all are ready to get on the give? How many of y'all gave something last week? Tell me some things you gave last week. Let's talk a minute today. Tell me some things you gave last week. Come on, spit them out. Time. Okay, what else? Money. Some of y'all gave money last week. What else? Encouragement. How many of y'all gave encouragement last week? You know what I gave? Hard time. I gave some people a hard time last week. I said you'd be on a give. What else? Prayer. How many of y'all gave prayer? That's great. A lot of y'all do that. What else? Advice. Good deal. Love. How many of y'all gave some love last week? How many of y'all? Good. Half of you. Good. That means half the people were unloved in Bowling Green last week. Okay. That check us out, huh? What else we give? What'd you receive? All right. Let's reverse it. What'd you receive last week? Some of y'all received love, kindness, purpose. All right. I want to challenge you some things. Three things today. I want you to know that God is a God that heals. I don't know why we resist this so much. I know why we resist this. You know why we resist healing? Because we all got a taker mentality. And if God doesn't heal our situation, then that means he's not going to heal anybody's situation. You notice our mentality in America? If God doesn't fix my problem, then he doesn't fix any problems. Watch this. God will fix a problem somewhere, but won't fix a problem there. I mean, if you're truly going to believe the Bible, I need all my young pastors. You know, there's this big move. Listen, if you're going to believe in the sovereignty of God, which I do and you do, then you got to accept what God does. That's the other side of that coin. Sometimes he lifts up, sometimes he leaves down. That's tough, isn't it? You know, Andrew, he takes some scallywag and their ministry will be blessed. And another guy that, I mean, you know, got the right haircut, the right moment, reads the right Bibles, got the right theology and the right doctrine, his church won't grow. Why? Because I don't know. And I don't know why. I don't know if his heart's not right or not. I can't judge hearts. But guess what? God does, doesn't he? And see, I think sometimes we got to get this. How many of y'all on the give? Get on the give. Well, look at Acts 3. I love this scripture. You got Peter, you got John. Now, what do you know about Peter and John in Acts? We've been through this great Holy Week experience. Peter, James, and John showed up during Holy Week over and over and over. And now who do we got hanging out? Peter and John. I call them a part of the big three executive crew. Have y'all noticed that? Now, this bothers a lot of us as Baptists. Who got to see a lot of the big events of Jesus? Was it all the disciples? But you know, Robin, that makes people mad. I mean, God's not fair. All 12 of them should have saw the same time. This really, watch, we live like that. I mean, I won't bust on a school system, but I'm so tired of the school system saying everybody's got to have the same thing. Wrong. Some people are smarter than other people in different areas. Hello. How many of y'all, that's new news? Coach Cox, you know, when we coached football together, we did not have, everybody on that team was not equal. We had some slow people. And you could pray over them, and guess what they still were? You could have put anointing oil on their feet, and guess what they'd have still been? That's why they played on the line. We gave them to Coach Reynolds and said, work a miracle, Jeff, work a miracle. True, Jeff? I mean, we had a couple big boys. If they made it around the track one time, guess what we was doing, Adam? We were cheering because they ran around the track and did not have a heart attack. Now, we had some other people go run. I'm telling you, this lie that we have that equality is everybody's got the same thing is not reality. That's the problem with that. It's not reality. Some people run faster. Some people run slower. Some people can read a book real fast. Some people read a book real slow. Some people can draw and some people can't draw. Y'all ever seen kindergarten pictures? When they all paste them on the wall, you go, there's a few architects in here, but not many. It's okay. You see, I think this is where we get away from our giving spirit. It's not what you give. It's that you give what you have. I mean, y'all get wrapped up in the gift instead of the attitude of giving. I mean, y'all give what you have. And see, there's a lot of y'all that got a lot of gifts, and you give a couple of them, and you look good compared to somebody that's only got a couple of gifts. But you know what? You're really lacking in a giving attitude because you're not giving all that you got. You're giving as little as you can. You remember the story of Jesus when they were taking up offering? Mark, you'll like this story. We had the rich folk in the temple. They came by in the temple, you know, and they dressed out. They all decked out. They got some big money bags, you know, Scott. And they're up there clinking big coins. You know, the offering was a production. Y'all ever been in a church where the offering is a production? I remember Pastor Mark and I were in a church in Chicago, and some of you all were on that mission trip. And I'm talking the offering was a big production. And in this particular church, you didn't pass any bags. I mean, you came up front to the church. Y'all have been in one of those where you walk up front and drop your offering. Well, Pastor Mark at that time had got an urging from the Spirit to head to the restroom facilities. So Mark gets up and he heads toward the back, and he is met by an usher that is about 6'4", 255 pounds. And the usher shuts the door and tells Pastor Mark, go sit down in your seat to after the offering's over. Now, there is a church that believes in the given moment, and nobody gets to use the potty while the bucket's being passed. Because what were they serious about? It's the time of giving. Now, watch this. You know, same kind of deal, a little production to the offering in the temple. And they were clinking the big coins. Now, here's what Jesus really lets us know. Listen, don't get impressed with the coin. God's not impressed with the coin. If you remember, that's not a big deal to God. He can put them in a fish's mouth. But he is impressed with the heart of the coin. And instead of honoring the big clunk, he honors the big attitude on the give, on the give. I can tell you right now, Hillview, we've been that widow's mite. This is a true story. Pastor Whittle, you remember this. You remember when we used to give people $5 so they could get enough gas to go to a church that had what they needed. That's a true story. I mean, I'm not making it up. That's not even a preacher's story. That's a true story. If I know we only had $5, and we said, brother, I'm sorry. Hey, listen, our gas tank's about as full as yours. We got $5. Now, today, that'd get you to Living Hope, $5. That's how much gas you could get. We could get you to Living Hope. But, I mean, it's interesting. First Baptist and us have always had a partnership. And we'd call down at First Baptist and we'd say, hey, listen, we don't have any food. We can't get any food. We pay the light bill this week and that was a strain on us. We're going to give these folks $5. Can y'all get them some food if we get them down at First Baptist? True story. And guess what? God turned that $5 into enough to take care of the situation. Now, I'm going to tell you something. A giving attitude will get the job done. You know, what we've lost in our culture is we don't have a giving attitude. I got people that walk in this office. Chase, you've seen it now. Now you've seen it. I'm not telling stories, am I? Chase, you work in benevolence. You ever had anybody walk in here and demand that they receive something? That didn't happen 30 years ago. You know what you'd hear 30 years ago? Thanks for the help. You know what I hear today? You're supposed to give me something because you're Christian. I said, yeah, but you're not. Well, just here's what people don't understand. The body of Christ is obligated to the body of Christ. Outside the body of Christ, things don't go well. That's why there's a body of Christ. That situation this week, somebody learned that, you know, hey, when times get tough, the body of Christ makes a lot of sense. Body of Christ kind of like a fire department. Yeah, and I love all of our firemen, Bert. I'm not picking on our firemen. After I moved that hose a few years ago up the block and ran, I haven't picked on y'all since then. However, that's not a bad life. Play cards, lift weights, and get 48 hours off. That sounds good, doesn't it? Until there's a... And then there's a lot of work and a lot of intensity, a lot of risk, a lot of danger. And you know what? You can die if a building falls on top of you. You're on the give. Well, you know, church is kind of like that. Sometimes we sit in church and we're like, what is this thing about? Why do I come here? Why do I do this? Why do I do that? And then all of a sudden your life gets in crisis and what do you find out? It's really great to be a part of the body of Christ, isn't it? But you may not find that out till you get in the what? Crisis moment. And what do you know about life? You will get in a what? How many of y'all been in a crisis yet? How many of y'all probably going to be in one? Good, yeah. How many of y'all going to die? You plan on it. Just not today, right? I used to have an old man, he'd tell me, he'd say, preacher, I'm all right and everything's all right with my soul and I know on the day I die that I'm going to be okay. I just don't want him to send the train by today. Eventually he set the train by and you know what? It came on a sudden stop. We don't know when, but we need to get a mentality of giving. Let's go to Acts 3, if I can find my... Oh, there it is. Do I call this a Bible? Do I call this a Bible or electronically transmitted Bible? It's the Word. By God through iPod. Here we go. You ready? Acts 3, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. Note... They were in their religious format. They stayed Jewish. That's what nobody understands. They stayed Jewish. They didn't quit being Jewish because they met Jesus. Jesus enhanced their Judaism. He must enhance our... They're still going to prayer. And where are they going to prayer? That, watch this. It's amazing. We've already had Acts 2 and there's no sign of a First Baptist Jerusalem. So they're headed to the temple, not the Baptist church. I know this would frustrate our Church of Christ brothers. That one hadn't been formed either. We have people doing what? They know for centuries God's at the temple. But now God's in their heart. So check this out. As they go to the temple, what are Peter and John packing? The power of the Holy Spirit in their heart. As they go up, they're already there. And what do they mean? A situation. Now, here's what I want you to know. Every day you all meet a situation. How many of y'all found that? You have a situation you give into. Here was their situation. There was a man there at the temple that needed help. How many of y'all know some people that need help? How many of y'all in the morning go to meet some people that need help? They're there. They're going to meet help. Look what happens here. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. So there was a man there. From birth, he had had a dilemma. He was lame. He could not walk. Now, how many of y'all have met a lot of people, they just can't get it going? Now, if we study psychology and we study the moment of this moment of mental health, there's a lot of mental health theories. What do they say? This person was made this way from birth. Well, guess what I say? Well, then praise God, they can be healed. Because we have evidence in Scripture from birth, God can correct the situation. You know why? You and I were made sinners from birth. God healed that situation. From what? Birth. Now, the man, his option was to beg. Now, we got to be careful. We don't need to be too critical of people that beg. Why? You know what I say about beggars? At least they're making an effort. Yep. In fact, we've gone past begging in America, though. We've gone to sitting and expecting. We got people that ain't got enough gumption to get out and beg. Mark remembers this mentality. He hit it one day. It was amazing. We were helping a church, and we were giving them some chairs. And a whole bunch of chairs, brand new church. And this new young pastor, some of these young pastors, not ours, but some of them absolutely amazed my old school mentality. Here's the church, man, and giving them chairs. You know what I mean? That saves a lot of money, by the way. Did y'all realize that? You know what that pastor did? He stood there and watched. He stood, and of course, you know, I know a lot of pastors are sissies, so I understand that. But he stood there and watched the church unload them and set them up and didn't put his hand on one chair. Now, to me, you know what that is? That's the mentality of this new age. You owe this to me because I went to seminary. And I laughed. I said, you went to a cheesy seminary on top of it. He went to one that's not even accredited. Not impressed with your paper. And I'm sure not impressed with your heart. You got to put your hands on it sometimes. Amen? What is it? We're fixing to open up the Church of Maine. That wouldn't happen if somebody hadn't put their hands on it. You're sitting here today in Hillview Heights Church. There are a lot of people put their hands on the situation and didn't just expect it to happen. Churches don't just happen. They don't just happen. I laughed. Church of Maine brought back a lot of memories. Y'all remember here when turning on the lights was a big deal? I do. I remember here where you could count the offering mark in 10 minutes. That's not a good sign. I remember when $1,200 was a big deal to paint and get ready for a vacation Bible school with four rooms. I remember running 80 preschoolers in four rooms in Rodney's apartment. But Angela, I know now that didn't qualify to the professional preschool ratio book to where they all need five cubic square feet. Well, I don't know what we do in every other country where they don't have 5 cubic square feet. You know what? They meet Jesus and get better. You know why? Because they haven't been lied to by a bunch of people that think our way is better than God's. Amazing. You're going to be on the give. Let me show you. Peter and John, you know what they understood? Their master. That's what I love about this story. They understood their master. They got Jesus. They understood Jesus. Look at here. They got to the guy he's begging. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked them for money. This is Peter. Peter was a straight talker. We've gathered that throughout the Scripture. How many of y'all realize the Apostle Peter, pretty straight shooter? So imagine him telling you this. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention. How many of y'all can look at the world, people out there that need some hope, and say, "Look at us"? Can you really say, "Look at us"? Now watch this. You can't say, "Look at us," if your mentality is take. Because you have the same mentality as a what? Beggar. And beggars can't help beggars. But those who've been filled by the Holy Spirit, those are givers, and they have something to give to what? Beggars. So I want you to wake up. If we're truly going to be the church of Jesus Christ, we got to have the spirit and the mentality of we're giving new life to those that we pass by. What do you think, Don? We ought to be new life people. In fact, there ought to be a warning sign on the back of us. Be careful, touch me, you might meet Jesus. I mean, y'all going to get that dangerous. Be careful. Silver and gold, I have none. But the power of God, I live in. That's the church that needs to really be resurrected in today's time. You know what? He looked at him. The guy gave him his attention. And guess what he did? So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. What do y'all expect to get from people? Work with me here just a minute. Have y'all's expectations ever been let down? How many of y'all have ever expected somebody to give you something and they didn't come through? Any of y'all had that human experience yet? How many of y'all wives expected your husbands to remember anniversary and maybe they forgot when it was? Does that happen to anybody other than Elizabeth? Or the expectation, you know, it took me a while to celebrate holidays. If now, Elizabeth's taught me, Elizabeth celebrates, so she's taught me how to celebrate holidays. Like for me, my mind's just real, like birthdays. I thought, what's the big deal? You breathe for 365 days, you've accomplished what everybody else has done. What's the big, go do something. All you got to do is breathe to have a birthday. Well, the older I've gotten, I've realized that having birthdays is an accomplishment. And then Elizabeth celebrates, and she celebrates so much, Clacy has a holiday the whole month. We've entered into it today. We call it Clacy Gras. It lasts the whole month of May. It's a celebration. Clacy said, you need to celebrate. But I'm celebrating more this year. She goes, Dad, how come you're celebrating this year? I said, you're leaving. No, I'm just kidding. But she is. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. Hillview Heights Church, I want to ask you a question. Here in just a few moments today, we're going to be down at the Church of Maine. If we look at those people in the West End and say, look at us, what will they find? I'll tell you what they'll find. They'll find some loving people, cheerful people, faithful people. They'll find some people that want to see the world get better. I mean, not everybody's like that here at Hillview, but guess what? There's enough to make a difference. Here's what I want you to know. Here's what I love about giving. It's not democracy. You don't have to have a majority. You don't have to have anybody's permission. You just have to know who Jesus is. You check this out. Peter and John, they didn't have to go check with their denomination or their bishop or all these folks to see if they could do this. They knew who had them. And so today, I want to encourage you, know who has you. And you know what they did? Our job is to help people walk. That's exactly what they did here. Look, they didn't depend on what was in front of them. They depended on who was in them. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something. And then Peter said, silver or gold, I do not have. How many of y'all feel like because you don't have enough? Come on, work with me just a moment. How many of y'all have ever said, I don't have enough? Now, that is not true. Now, this is going to sting a little bit. Y'all ready? Just go ahead and let this going to sting a little bit. How many of y'all realize the Lord has provided for us in America financially over and over and over? This is what needs are shelter, clothing, food. These are not needs. High definition TVs. It's not a need. We have walk-in closets. Very few countries have walk-in closets. We have more than enough and have done very little with what we've been given. True or false? In fact, because our mentality is not a giving mentality, our abundance has led to death instead of life. You know what kills most people in our culture? Overindulgence. Did you realize that? Silver and gold. We choke on our what? Silver and gold. It's just interesting, as I preach this today, what do you hear? There's commercials all the time right now telling you to invest in what? Gold. You better invest in gold. The world's falling apart. But if you have gold, you're going to be what? You're going to be secure. Really? Really? I didn't know that. I didn't know gold would secure you when somebody put a gun to your head and said, give me your what? Most of you will say, here it is. There's only one thing that will secure us. Who is it? Jesus, Peter, and John, man, they knew this. This is the current event. Silver and gold. It's just interesting. Those are the two investments right now. They're going up. They're going up. They're going up. They're at an all-time what? High. There's a security. His name is Jesus. Silver or gold, they didn't have a lot of money. So I just want to tell you, if you thought you had to have a lot of money to make a lot of difference, you don't. Guess what you have to have? An absolute relationship with Jesus Christ. But what I have, I what? Give you in the name of who? In the name of Jesus. Check what they did. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. Then verse 7. Taking them by the what? Right hand. He helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped his feet and began to walk. And guess what? Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. You reckon anybody called him down? He's walking and jumping and praising God in the temple. Why? God's real. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with what? Wonder and amazement at what had happened to who? Him. I hope that will be your story. That you will live in such a way that you will tell people to get up and to go on and to make things happen in such a way that not only will your life be filled with wonder and amazement, but guess what? Your mentality will be such a giving mentality that you will give what God has given you. Now, I just want you to recognize something. God has been given us the ability. There would be times in the power of prayer that guess what? God will heal his people. Don't fret that. And listen, don't go so intellectual that you say, well, I think that was for a moment of time. Well, how do you know it's not this moment of time? Come on, folks. We can't have a powerful God on one hand and make him a limited God on the other hand. You see what I'm saying, Briggsy? He can't be the beginning and end and an all-sovereign God, and then we can regulate the gifts that he sends along the way because we don't understand them. He either is all-powerful or he's not all-powerful. And guess what? Your decision will not affect who he is. However, your decision will affect who you are. Make sense? If you believe he's all-powerful, then guess what? You'll function as all-powerful. If you believe he's a limited God, you'll have a limited life. I believe he's an unlimited God. What do you think? I believe it's really happening. What do you think, Charles? I believe he took that guy's right hand and he said in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And guess what the guy did? He got up and he walked and he walked into the temple with him and he got charismatic and he jumped and he shouted and he praised God and he went crazy and other people were blown away because what used to beg now can live. And that's the mission of Christ. Because guess what? You and I used to beg. God! I need your mercy. And guess what God did? He gave them mercy. Does that make sense? All right, y'all get this today? Are we going to exercise it at 11 o'clock on Church of Maine? Tim, I didn't put this scripture together. It's been put together a long time ago when we happened to hit Acts 3 on the day that we're opening up Church of Maine. Wonder who put that in gear. This morning I woke up and I went, it's raining. Boy, there's an observation, isn't it? I said, what about the Church of Maine? Then I was reminded of what I was preaching today. You know what? If God can help a lame man, a crippled man, get up and walk, then I think God can get people through the rain. Amen. Make sense? It is what it is. Y'all ready to keep on going? Patty, there's a danger right now at Hillview. It's called the 20-year coast bug. We could all just coast. We could sit in here. Alan, we could have us some potlucks and reminisce about the old days. We could make us a cabinet and put relics from 1993 in it and talk about how God moved back there. And you know what? If y'all want to do that, I hope you will enjoy Jamie being your pastor. Because I want to see the lame walk. I want to see the blind see. No, Jamie won't be your pastor either because he'll go with me because he don't want to sit around, remember what was. Do y'all want to remember what was? Listen, even if you're older, quit remembering what was. What is still here. That, to me, that's a good joy. I mean, I'm not real old, but I ain't real young either. I'm Goldilocks right now, somewhere in the middle. Somebody asked me, are you in middle life? I said, I don't know, because I don't know what the end is. I don't know how you determine middle age, because I don't have an expiration date on the bottom of my foot. So I don't know if I'm at halftime yet. You know what I do know? I may be near the end. Or I may be just in the beginning. I don't know. Do you, Nancy? But I do know this. Every day we ought to have a giving mentality. How many of y'all need to work on your giving mentality? Come on, I'm telling you what, it'll change the way you live because you quit looking at what you deserve and you start looking at what you can give. That's why some of y'all are all corked up all the time. I didn't get this. I didn't get that. I should have got this. I should have got this promotion. They should have recognized. That's why you're so miserable. And the more miserable you become, guess what people want to do? Not only do they not want to take your right hand, they don't even want to stop and hear you. I'm telling you, Bobby, not that you're like that, but I mean, you've been around people like that, haven't you? How many of y'all have been around people that always look at the impossibility of things? Charmers of life. You know, you just want to go have lunch with them so they can tell you how bad it really is. Or do you look forward to living with people that can tell you how God can do something great in spite of what is? That's the give mentality. Silver, gold, I have what? But Jesus Christ will help you get up and walk. Well, let's stand up and we're going to offer an altar here. Before we do that, Pastor Eric, if you'll slip out of prayer group there. Eric's got something great to tell us at this altar. Now today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, guess what? We want to let you know what? Jesus Christ. So I want you to come talk to these pastors about being baptized. If you haven't got baptized yet, listen, walking outside today in the rain does not qualify as a baptism. Okay, you got to be that, bear that witness in baptism. Jesus wants you to do that. So I want to pray that you let God move. And